This is Scott Richmond.
And Arnie Sherman.
You're listening to What Do You Know on News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. Arnie Sherman, a good Sunday morning to you.
Hey, Scott, it's great seeing you. But more importantly, we're going to see two of our favorite friends that are coming to visit with us to talk about the airport. The last time we had them here was when the new terminal just was
opening. I can't
believe
it, Arnie.
I mean, it's time flies, you know, obviously, and more than time flies, appropriate for our show. And we're a year away from the second half, the sister building opening, will have double the capacity.
At the Missoula, Montana
at
Airport.
Missoula, Montana Airport, which is my favorite, and I think arguably your favorite airport that we travel to. I always look forward to coming home there, but I also look forward to leaving compared to lots of other places. When you're on the road and you have to come through Las Vegas Airport or LAX or, you know, LaGuardia or, Reagan Airport in D.C., it could be hassles. You sometimes have to plan to be there legitimately 2 hours before.
There's never
the flight.
Any dread when
No.
you think about going to the airport.
No. I mean, you know, if there's horrible weather, but that's not the airport's fault. Putting
At
aside
all.
Things that are not in control of the airport, like the airlines.
Right.
The airport has been running like clockwork lately most of the time.
Beautifully.
Yeah.
Well, our guests are Tim Damro. He is the deputy director, and Brian Ellestad, the director of the Missoula, Montana Airport. These guys are steeped in knowledge of all things that you and I love talking about, commercial aviation.
Yes, and something we partake of more than most people.
Planes, airports, amenities,
right, and
routes, airlines.
And what we have to look forward to in the future, which is equally as important.
Right, and it's interesting to know, Arnie, and because I now have flown in and out of some other airports in Montana, we certainly have the nicest airport.
I think so. I think we have the nicest airport, and for where we live, where it's the most convenient airport.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on the other side of Bozeman, or if you're on the other side of Billings, you know, it could be a bit of a ride.
All right. Anyway, when we come back, our guests are Tim and Brian from Missoula, Montana Airport. Back after these words. Arnie, we are back with our guests, Tim Damro and Brian Ellestad from the airport.
Brian, the director, and Tim, the deputy director.
The deputy director.
Gentlemen, this is one of my favorite shows, and it's good to have you back. We haven't seen you for almost 2 years, so we have a lot to catch up on. And air travel is something Scott and I are familiar with almost on a weekly basis. So from the big picture, the last time we talked, the new terminal just opened. We have a sister terminal or whatever you want to call it that's opening right next door. They look like twins. So what's the big picture headline about the status of the airport these days?
Busy. So obviously we opened. I can't believe it's been 2 years since we last talked.
I know, it's crazy. You guys look younger. You should look older nice. After going through all of this. But
yeah, we opened that up in stages. Obviously, we built what we thought we could afford at the time, you know, entering COVID. So now the sister part is opening up, and obviously we squeezed a lot in what we just opened up. And we're probably talking late spring of 25, I guess, when
for
we're
the
planning
second.
To open up the second phase.
And what's that going to add to what we already have?
So a true baggage claim. So right now we're piecemealed you into a very small area, so we'll have two full baggage claims. Rental cars come back into the terminal instead of walking across the street into a white tent. And then four more parking positions on the back half. Two of the bridges will be done in this phase, and then we have another phase that'll add another bridge.
So and a lot more bathrooms.
Oh, that's good, too. You know, I've traveled through a lot of airports, even during and around COVID and stuff, and Salt Lake City has gone through an expansion, which it continues to go through. And every airport that I've been in, LaGuardia, all of these airports had all kinds of disruptions as you travel through them in terms of diversions and walking the plank, as I call it, in Salt Lake City, about how you had to walk almost a quarter of a mile to get your airplane for about a year. How come ours went so smoothly?
So I think a lot of it was just involving our team. So Brian, myself, and our whole airport team, we really sat down with the project team throughout the course of the project to try to identify what are those pinch points going to be. You know, we're airport guys, we're familiar with it. We know what's going to work and what's not going to work for passengers. Construction guys know how to build it. So I think it was really good teamwork and working together and try to identify those. And I mean, really to date, like Brian mentioned, the only pinch point that we have and that people really notice is that really undersized baggage claim. Which is kind of one of the necessary evils at this current time. But I think, again, it was just a lot of really good teamwork and communication throughout the progress.
I have to say, even with the undersized baggage claim area, baggage comes out here pretty quickly compared to lots of other places that I fly through.
And then just to add, we obviously, because we had a squeeze of baggage, temporary baggage claim in there, we forego some bathrooms that we really, really wanted in there in this phase.
Sure.
So once we open up that next piece, we backfill that whole area with bathrooms.
And it's already plumbed for new bathrooms?
Yep. If you look at it today, that where you walk across a carpet, that is the footprint of future bathrooms.
Got it.
So as we're doing the show, we're in the midst of almost an unprecedented heat wave across the country. Nothing is letting up. I saw a map of the United States and the whole thing's red, prior, you know, almost 98% of it. What does heat do to your operation?
So for us, it's more of worker safety, I would say, more than anything. Just making sure everybody's cool, gets lots of water, rest breaks. I mean, obviously, you know, fuller airplanes, lighter air density, so the planes, you know, why work a little harder taking off with full airplanes. But for us, it's more of worker safety.
Yeah, it gets extremely hot, and you can imagine trying to load 150 bags on a tin can that's also heating up. It's not too fun.
How are you guys doing for resources for workers there, for human resources? Do you have enough people?
Yeah, I think kind of what we've heard is hit or miss from tenants. There's been times challenging, obviously wrapping up into the summer where it's going to be kind of the most onerous from the employee side. Some of our tenants did have issues filling positions, but I think now they're in a pretty good spot. I think we're here and now, you know, it's a little bit easier to find people. We're getting applicants.
So. I was going
to
say the airline's third party out to, what is it, Uni or the company that does like their hiring. I realize that they're not employees of the airline. They are this, I guess, service provider.
Yeah, so every airline handles it a little bit different. So Unify, who you mentioned, Unified. They handle Delta and United. So those are going to be the two big carriers in Missoula. Alaska has their own staff, Alaska Horizon. And then we as the airport offer those ground handling services as well. So anyone on Allegiant, American, Frontier, or Sun Country, they're handled by actual airport staff.
Well, in the news, ever since the airport opened and you've had all of the counters, it's been a lot less, you know, log jam downstairs with people waiting to get in. You know, you can kind of cut it closer than maybe you used to cut it in terms of coming through. And the TSA operation seems to be very substantial for an airport our size. They look like they do a pretty good job.
Do you feel that way?
So for the first part for the counters, I think that's because we use technology to really work that area. So we can kind of ebb and flow as we need to. So those monitors on the back, we can grow. Everything's common, a lot of common use counters there, so you know people can jump over to different counters.
Mm-hmm.
TSA, they had a pretty rough day on Monday.
Just volume.
And we lobbied hard for a fourth lane. We weren't awarded it, and we thought we had a very good business case. We went back, pushed another business case, again denied. As luck, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, and TSA headquarters people just happened to show up for a meeting on Tuesday, and they arrived on Monday, and they saw everything.
Yes.
So I think we'll have four lanes next summer.
Oh, that's good.
What does
that
mean, four lanes? So
right now when you go in line, so you have a pre-check lane, and there's three machine lines, so we'd add a fourth.
Any chance of us ever getting like a clear or something like that, or we're just too small of an airport?
Probably too small. Never say never.
Yeah.
But I think pre-check's going to satisfy a lot of the needs here in Missoula.
Pre-check will. But this idea of face recognition and, you know, that whole thing is incredible. Mm-hmm. Is that
that's not just Claire. They're using that outside of the CLEAR process.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, Delta's been, you know, if you fly international, I think Delta a lot of times are. It's how you get on. Or you could fly out of Washington, D.C. It's facial recognition.
Got it. Right. Got it.
I just had a facial recognition check in Las Vegas, actually, as well.
Yep, but I think they were one of the pilot airports yeah. for those programs.
Although I have to say, and maybe it's just the day I was there because it always changes, I didn't think it was that much faster than just letting them take the passport or your driver's license and look at it. Because they still scan stuff. They didn't just do completely 100% reliant on the facial right. recognition yep. piece. Maybe it's more a sense of comfort and security that they've, your face is in the system and, you're not a terrorist and they let you through.
Are you guys familiar with LaGuardia Airport, their new setup there?
Every time I look to see if I can get rescheduled to fly out of that airport, I do, but I have not seen that airport yet.
It's incredible, the security and the queue and how to get in and out. It feels like you're just walking and everything, like you rarely stop up until you get to the...
Right. The only thing I don't like about the LaGuardia setup from coming from here through using Delta is that literally you get off the plane, you're walking, you see a sign that says 10 minutes
to baggage.
6 minutes. I mean, it is a long
it's a schlep.
Walk. I mean, every airport has been doing that. These long terminals that you have in Denver, the long terminals in Salt Lake City. If you're clocking them, you're putting in 10,000 steps by the end of the.
These guys are laughing. I like the.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's a lot different than it used to be.
What do you think? So you're keeping abreast of everything, technology, airport technology, and layouts, et cetera. We're pretty well set, aren't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. Well, I like that you're talking about walk timers to bag claim. And I think that's our problem is people walk to bag claim so fast.
Right.
They don't realize that they beat their bags because their bags are still sitting on the plane.
Right. And, that's one of the unintended consequences. But it's worth it. At least you're off the plane. You know, you can make your other logistic adjustments. Are we having more embarkations than we did before that we had the new terminal? What are we up to these days?
So June, we're over 16% increase year over year, 16%.
Wow.
So that's
wow.
a big number. So
that is.
Well over 100,000 passengers went in and out of Missoula in just the month of June. And July, we'll blow that number out of the water.
Wow.
It's incredible. I go to the airport, I don't recognize anybody. Years ago, you go and you recognize everyone.
But again, that's because of competition. I mean, yes, the building's great, but it's competition. So. We get Sun Country was new this summer. Frontier decided to come back to a market. Well, what does Frontier bring? Competition. So United wants to preserve market share. So they bring in bigger and more airplanes. So it's competition breeds competition.
So you got more flights, more people. What does that do for parking?
Well, we're working on that as well.
So yeah, a lot of updates there. I know that's one of the big challenges we've seen, and I think kind of during the pandemic, things shifted for whatever reason. We saw huge growth in our parking lot. And that's, I think, probably the only frustration we hear from travelers today is, I think up until probably the last month or so, it's been really difficult to find a parking spot at the airport.
Yeah.
So during that whole process, we were working to add on to our lots. We're happy to say, as of a couple months ago, we've opened and expanded an economy lot now.
How does that work?
Right now it's a scan to pay. So it's a prepay. So you walk into the lot, you park, you scan a QR code there, you pay your number of nights and your license plates logged in inventory.
That's good.
We've, I think, opened up several hundred more parking spaces. We've just signed a contract for new equipment. Actually just got on an update with them. We should have new equipment installed in August.
What kind of new equipment?
So it's going to have a lot. Obviously, the technology's changed a lot. Our equipment out there has probably been there for 20, 30 years. So we're hoping in the coming years to announce some abilities to do prepay for parking, reserve a parking spot, discounts, loyalty programs, things like that for people that frequently travel out of the airport.
That's good to know. But I do find the queuing and getting out at night when I land is fine. No issue.
So this should make it even better. There's some peak times where we do see some backups, but a lot of what the technology is going to do is track lot status, be able to easily communicate to you, hey, this isn't a great lot to park in. There might be less than 10% of spaces available. Go to economy. But the other piece of that is going to be license plate technology. So when you pull in, it's going to scan your plate. And when you go out, same thing. It's going to know who you are, how long you were there, and hopefully get people in and out a lot quicker.
One of the things I like at some of the other airports is in some of the lots, they tell you how many available spaces there are.
And we are really looking forward to getting that technology.
Yep. Yeah, that is really helpful.
Yep. So we'll have that on our website, be on our reader boards, and that'll drive.
Is there a plan, though, to have covered parking at some point? I guess if we hit a certain capacity, we would have to, correct?
So master planning, we are kind of also in the middle of that. So that is part of the master planning process. It's just, it's a tough financial animal to put your hands around because what it's at 70,000 a parking spot nowadays.
Wow.
Yeah, for a covered parking garage, I think it's 60, 70 grand
and
per
people,
spot.
And
per spot,
yeah.
Yes.
And people are getting a little bit testy about the rates on the daily basis here now. They've gone up a lot since 5, 6, 7 years ago. And so, and also the drive services have raised their prices to compete with your prices. So if you call up
one of the Uber or whomever,
Uber or the it's $30-$40 to to get a ride to the airport.
Brian, real quickly, you just mentioned master planning. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that process. What's the where are we with that?
So we're probably in the final stages. It's a multi-step process. I mean, you go through you select a consultant. We got Morris and Merrily. You go through and look at your existing inventory. You talk to your tenants. What's your wish list? What's your crystal ball into the future? And then I'm speeding through it, but we met with the community, heard what they want to see out there.
Right.
We may or may not have another public meeting. The first one went so good that we got such great input. I'm not sure. We haven't decided yet. But right now, consultants are just finalizing everything and putting everything on paper, and then it goes to the FAA for review. It's a real fast.
And this is planning how many years out? This is
minimum of 20, but you're really looking 50 plus years.
Right. Isn't that incredible?
And that means more runways?
So we've always had a parallel runway on our master plan. Through public input, through staff input, we're actually proposing to move it closer to the building. Still be a parallel runway, but where it was designed was it was supposed to have the runway smack dab between the two. Well, it would take you 8 to 10 minutes just to taxi to that to that runway.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're proposing to move it to the north side so that the two are kind of like right parallel. And for right or for wrong, our control tower is set up for just viewing one direction. So why would we put the runway on the other side?
Gosh.
So when you talk about new technology, the one irritating thing that you run into, not just here but everywhere else in the wintertime, is the de-icing process. Is there any technology coming down the pipe that's going to make that quicker?
I don't know about technology. It's really, I think, more of the problem here locally is equipment, staffing. It's making sure
de-ice pad expansion as well.
So we expanded the de-ice pad, so we got plenty of room for airplanes to go and get de-ice in the morning. We got three spots. We used to have two. But I think it's more of the equipment. We always preach to our airlines. We always provide a warm, heated spot. Like if the temperature goes below zero, below that, we pull our equipment out and say, airlines, put your equipment in. Well, the night crew may not switch over crews and they don't get the memo. So that's why we love being in the ground handling business. So at least we have control over American Allegiant,
Related question. If you're on the tarmac and you're getting ready to take off in the morning, let's say, right? You're on that morning United flight or whatever, and there's a mechanical issue. What happens? Like, is there a technician that's on premises, or are they up in Ronan that they have to drive down? Or, talk about that, because I know that there's sometimes we have an issue like that where there's like a bathroom light broken and you're like waiting a half hour and you're like, isn't there just someone on staff ready to do that? And then second question, part two, what if the plane has to, you have to take it offline? What do we do? Do we just cancel that flight and then that screws up a lot of people's days?
So it's all airline specific.
True.
So I'll tell you, Allegiant might get a bad rap for being a low cost airline, but they actually require a mechanic to meet the airplane on every arrival and departure. So they spend the money to make sure there's somebody there.
Wow.
Some of the other airlines don't go to that step. So they just wait and make the phone call once there's a mechanical. And so if it's an old dark 30 in the morning and they have to contract with either Minuteman or North Star, there's nobody there on site until they get that phone call. And then they might be, either up Ronan or down the Bitterroot, and they might take half hour to get here.
I knew it.
So it's airline specific.
Like there's a guy coming in. He's like hitting traffic and That's crazy.
It drives us nuts hearing that, but it's an airline call.
Well, every time I see you guys at the airport, because I see you guys all the time at the airport, you're always running to something. You're always doing something.
They're never walking slowly through the airport. They're always running somewhere.
Why is that? Is that because A, staffing, and B, like you have to cover a lot of different jobs? I mean, am I answering the question that I'm asking?
I think we just like to help. So I think it's just kind of the nature. All of our staff get out and about. So typically, probably what you're referring to, we're usually running wheelchairs.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that can slow down boarding is trying to offload, you know, everyone in a safe fashion. So if we can be there and help with some extra hands to run wheelchairs and then sprint right back to get the next one, we're happy to do it. All of our staff is. And it's kind of a unique thing, I think, for our
airport. It's good. I like that because I think that's...
I was going to say, Scott, you know, you talk about plane going offline. I was on a flight where a passenger passed away on the flight. And you know what happens then?
What? Midair?
In air. Every seat on the plane was taken. It was a Delta flight coming here. It had to stop at the closest airport, which was Kalispell. No one could get off until the coroner came.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The coroner was up fishing somewhere, so we sat on the plane for about 4 hours, waiting for the coroner to decide that it was, you know, what the cause of death was, and then the plane.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm not kidding. No, that's what happened. And every seat was taken on the flight. There happened to be a doctor on the plane who sat next to the person. They basically put a blanket over him until we landed in Missoula.
Let's do a quick ID. I mean, look, a great time for a break. Quick ID, our guests is Tim Damro and Brian Elstad from the airport. Missoula International Airport.
No.
Wait, what is it?
Missoula, Montana Airport.
We changed that. Scott, the only reason I brought that story up is that almost every contingency there's a process for. So let me switch gears a little bit. More and more we're reading about problems with aircraft, problems with unruly passengers, problems with sometimes crew on the plane as well. Is this unprecedented in your career, or has this just been publicized more than it really than it has been in the past? I can't tell.
And I would say I'm not sure either. I'd say it's a bit of both. I'd say airplanes are more packed than they ever have been, so people's patience is pushed to the limit much more than they used to be, probably. Weather always causes issues and downline impact, so then people's nerves get frazzled and they stay at the bar a little too long, and then they get on an airplane. So I think it's a little bit of both. It's just volume of people.
You know, and the volume leads to other kinds of issues. You know, I've been reading more and more about, like, somebody gets on the plane and they're separated from their wife or whatever, and they ask somebody to move from an aisle seat to a middle seat. The person said, I paid for an aisle seat. I booked this a month ahead of time. I'm not moving. And, you know, that civility issue, and I think that's related to, you know, heat, delays in schedule, overpacked. I don't remember the last time I was on a flight that had less than 60 or 70% capacity where there were lots of empty seats.
That actually begs the question, is there a police officer on the ready to come onto a flight, or do you have to call them up?
Oh, we have several on staff.
So on staff.
They're ready. Yeah.
Well, what do they call them? Not air marshals, but...
So at the airport, there are public safety department. On board, there'd be a U.S. air marshal.
Got it. But the guy who would come and take the unruly passenger off, who's in uniform, is on site.
Yep, that's typically going to be on site at every
airport.
Got it.
And are those folks called into action when there's, you know, a drunk passenger or unruly passenger? That's what it usually is.
Yeah.
Because particularly on the Allegiant flights coming back early in the morning from Vegas, I've seen a few folks sneaking booze onto the plane and, you know, causing a little bit of havoc.
Do you have to sneak it onto the plane?
You're not allowed to drink your own alcohol on a plane.
Oh now they tell Scott.
Sorry, Scott, I forgot.
How did you get it from TSA, though? Oh, I see. Yeah.
They don't have to. They had it after TSA.
That's terrible.
So do we have equipment issues because of, you know, some of the Boeing, you know, concerns on their aircraft? Is the safety a bigger problem, and does the airport have a role in influencing greater safety for aircraft?
So it's really more of the airline. I mean, we look at ourselves more like that shopping mall, that tenant, you know, that, you know,
right.
they rent space from us and we lease it. We don't really have an opportunity to say we'd prefer Airbus products or Boeing products or, you know,
Embraer.
They're going to fly the type of airplane that they believe they can make money on. So the, you know, the biggest airplane, the lower seat costs for that airline. So that's what they're going to fly into your market. But with that said, you know, we really don't get the Boeing product that much into an auto. You know,
really?
I mean, Delta's.
You're right. We don't. It's know, A320s.
Or we get the, you know, the 737-800s, not the Maxes. But we do get the Maxes, but they're pretty few and far right. between for the right. most part.
What is Allegiant fly?
Airbus.
Yeah.
They're Jeez. Getting.
But switching.
They're switching.
To Boeing.
They'll have a mixed fleet here eventually, but their deliveries are delayed because of the issues that Boeing is having.
Interesting.
So based on your research and you know, your planning Expertise. And consultants, what are the routes that we need here that we don't have? I mean, I've always voted for New York. A nonstop flight to New York would be a great addition.
Wonder why.
So we're working with the community right now and looking to apply for a small community air service grant. So we've had success in the past. You know, obviously yes. Dallas was in 16, I believe, we got a grant. And San Francisco was before that. But looking at nonstop Chicago service. So then you can do at least one stop service in a more east-west direction
right.
and get those connections to the East Coast.
Right.
So we're in the final stages of that. So
although Minnesota's not bad.
Yep, Sun Country's doing really well.
Right.
And I like the Delta flight.
Mm-hmm. I think the big piece that Brian mentioned earlier as well is the competition. So getting Chicago in our market year-round is really right. going to help everyone be honest on their pricing. So
that's good.
Hopefully kind of that, I guess, a rising tide in the sense maybe lowers the boats in the terms of airfare.
Right.
But.
Well, and you know, and Chicago has more international flights than some of these other airports. That's the yep. reason I like New York, not just going to New York, but from New York, if you're flying into JFK, you can hook up to all sorts of one stop to Europe kind of deal from here.
That's funny. Someone told me the other day that if you have the desire to drive to Calgary, that you could go drive up to Calgary, leave from Calgary and get a cheaper flight to Europe than anywhere else.
Well, you can also fly to Vancouver or get to Vancouver and have a cheaper flight to Asia.
Right.
I did business class round trip from Vancouver to Tokyo for $2,200 out of Vancouver.
And it would have been a lot more from Seattle.
$5,000, $6,000.
Got it.
You know, you're not going to fly any cheaper than that.
It all comes down to competition at the
yep.
end of the day.
Yep.
The more options we can give our customers, the cheaper the flights will be. And we're seeing that this summer, I think. I mean, if you've flown out of here this summer, I'm guessing that you've seen the lower airfares that you have seen in the past.
Yes.
I guess I'll defer to you
yes.
if you've seen that or not.
You see them if you're able to book far enough ahead.
True.
Yep.
If you're booking in a month or less, I mean, I just booked a ticket. I have a last-minute meeting in Washington, D.C., so it's Delta through Minneapolis to $800 for a main cabin seat.
Delta's more expensive. United has been a lot more aggressive.
They definitely have in a market because
right.
they want to make sure they beat back Frontier. So they're adding 4 daily mainline, you know, 150-seat airplanes to Denver a day, where they used to do all regional jets. Then they went to 2 mainlines and 2 regional jets. But it's I mean, I bet you they're up 50% more seats this summer than last summer.
Yeah.
I know right? last year they were bigger than Delta in our market, so mm-hmm. they made quite a bit of gains.
I almost always flew Delta to international flights because, you know, status on the airline and whatever. But because of scheduling and connection times and all that sort of stuff, I hate – some of the times they book you where you got a 30-35-minute connection. I'm not doing that mm-hmm. on an international flight, particularly if there's only one coming out of the Minneapolis or one coming out of
right.
Salt Lake City. So I've switched to United mm-hmm. and it worked out
United's you know, pretty not bad.
Good. Not bad.
And United, I'm sure you probably, you know, they'll match people's statuses.
Yeah, they do status match. So you can be platinum.
Will Delta do that?
They will, too, if you're United and, you know.
Yeah, they want your business. They'll do the status match because then they'll figure you're going to be traveling, you know, at a higher level and a higher, you know, class in most cases.
Since we last spoke to you two guys, because we think we've determined it may have been almost 2.5 years, or 2 years. And how do you guys feel about all the progress that's been made? I mean, there's a lot of – I know you guys put a ton of work into this and a lot of planning. Like, are you feeling good and satisfied as to where you are to date, or do you wish there were some other advancements that you had made that you didn't? Like, give us the skinny.
I mean, looking back over the 2 years, if there's anything, would you have done it differently?
Yeah.
You know, I think from my side, I just can't believe how lucky we got just with timing on when we completed our first phase. We got bids and,
right.
you know, very reasonable pricing, you know, really right during the pandemic. So got extremely lucky there. Timing, I mean, all of our grants have just came in exactly at the right time we needed them. But there's nothing I can really think. I mean, it's as much fun as it's been having all this construction in progress. I think we started in 2018, 2019. I'm kind of ready for it to be done. I think everyone is. So the end is in sight. Yeah. It's fun to watch. It's fun to see. But I think it's going to be even better when it's done. So we got one more year left, and I think we'll be in a really good spot next year.
It's amazing. How about you, Brian?
You know, it's kind of the same thing. I think, I mean, you're always your own worst critic. You know, parking was always, I just don't know how we would have changed it. We were on a path where we were going to have excess parking because we were looking, you know, doing our master plan. We were going to be way ahead of the ball game. And then Frontier announced service, I want to say, in March or April of our startup in May. I mean, 16% growth. I mean, you usually typically do a 3% growth every year. So to go 16% in a month, how do you plan for that? And I think we would have been okay, but then we had some bad weather and it slowed down our a construction project on our parking. So we survived for parking, but it was tight. So it would have been nice to have not had that little bit of a hiccup for those 2 months while we had a delayed construction on our parking expansion. But other than that, pretty good.
How does a place like that storage facility get real estate so close and adjacent to the airport?
Because we didn't want to buy it.
I think that's what, because I was going to say, like, which is a good answer. That's what I thought it would have been.
Well, it's sitting on an old dump.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And, oh, that's right.
I mean, the part that they built on is part we wanted to buy.
Right.
But we just couldn't negotiate a price. Yeah. And then.
Who owned it?
Is it?
A rancher?
No, it was a gentleman, that nice guy, but just, you know, in our minds, overpriced it. And part of it is, you know, we did our due diligence on it, and it just wasn't something we wanted to take liability for.
It's going to be interesting because that part of town that we live in, that the airport's in, is going to expand with the plans for the Y. Mm-hmm. What happens with a 50-year master plan if you need to contemplate more parking? You know, do you go across the street? Do you go across Broadway? Do you go further down Broadway on the same side that the airport's on? And do you put a monorail in? I mean, what do you do?
So we have plans to go further east. And then after that, we'd have to build probably up, build the structure.
Further east past the storage?
No. Closer to, so we have a crosswind runway that's right there. So we're looking to decommission that. And then we kind of go build out. That runway gets very, very little use.
Got it.
So we can stay within, I'll say it, a fairly long walk. It's a reasonable walk.
People move around.
And that's why we've actually discounted our parking in that area because, you know, it's only $8 parking in that new economy lot. So
got it.
So we just want to kind of, you know, we realize it's a long walk and we discounted it accordingly.
Get your steps in.
And part of the challenge with parking is, and we get a lot of questions on, you know, why don't we just build a parking garage? Is that in order to build that garage in a convenient location that people want to park, you have to move the 500 or 600 cars in its footprint. So we really need to be at an excess, a pretty big excess of parking before we're able to clean out an area to be able to build that type of a garage when it's affordable.
Well, you know, some of the airports like Cincinnati, Vegas have taken some of the close parking away from the rental cars and built the rental car centers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which, you know, for locals, isn't, you know, we don't care that much. For people that are visiting, it's a pain in the neck. But last time I flew into Vegas, it was a 20-minute wait just to get on the bus.
Yeah, it's awful.
To get to the parking center, which was a 8-minute drive. And, you know, by the time you got the car, it was 30, 40 minutes after your flight. And that was, you know, that's typical.
Right.
If you're not an elite member of one of the rental car companies, you then get to the rental center and there's 20 people ahead of you waiting for two spots, for two counters.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you could be stuck for a couple of hours.
So let's shift gears a little. Let's go to another direction. So we've talked about commercial, right? And the new airlines coming in, new routes, growth, et cetera, so forth. Talk about other aviation services and businesses that live at the airport. Because you have Neptune, you have who else?
Minuteman.
And how do they contribute from a bottom line? Are they just tenants of the airport? I mean, how do we classify them? Like,
So yeah, they're classified. So Minuteman and Neptune, Northstar, they're classified as what we call an FBO or a fixed base operator. So they provide a number of services. Obviously, the Neptune focus is going to be more on the firefighting, aerial services. And then the Northstar and Minuteman is going to be refueling, flight training, things like that. So all the ancillary services you're going to need for our general aviation and commercial aviation communities.
Right. Wow. And we have an increase in private planes that are flying in and out of here. I drive by there almost daily, and I count how many planes. And, you know, there's certain weeks where that lot's pretty full with visitors coming in.
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely seeing an increase there as well.
Yeah.
Do we know who the visitors are? We do.
In some cases.
We don't.
You guys know.
Some cases we do, but not most cases. You can check the tail numbers. And you can find out who's
Well, should we prepare? Let's think. We're in a presidential election year. Should we be prepared for Air Force One to come to land at our airport?
It's always a possibility.
It is, isn't it? I remember, Arnie, watching Trump plane land. Mm-hmm. It was incredible to see such a big jet land at our airport.
And it was here for what, a few hours only, turned around and pulled out.
The downside is this time we won't have the room to do something. You know, last time he was here, he wanted to be on airport proper. Now he can park the plane no matter which candidate comes. We just don't have anywhere literally on airport to hold
around.
To hold around.
Yeah, that's right.
We just don't have it.
They'd have to go over to the Kettle House's facility to,
Big Sky.
To do something. Big Sky or somewhere that would be nearby.
Actually, no.
So what other activities are coming to the airport? Do we have any air shows coming, anything like that that our community can look forward to?
No air shows. Again, we did that. We just don't have the facility. You know, we're basically a single runway airport.
Right.
To try and hold something like that, and then, you know, hold parking for something like that. We're just not set up for it. There's other airports in the state that are much better set up for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that, again, the big thing the air show is going to be parking. So I went over. I attended the one in Great Falls, Billings as well. And even with just ample space to park vehicles, it was a nightmare getting in and out. They're fun
terrible.
To watch, but the worst was the 3 or 4 hours trying to get out of the parking lot with a mess of people.
Yeah.
So, like Brian said, that's going to be our biggest challenge, is really just finding a place to park people. And
I think we are going to have the greatest state-of-the-art airport in the state once this is all complete. Am I wrong?
No, we think so, but every airport in the state is going through a refurbishment right now. I mean, Billings.
Kalispell is
right now. I mean, but again, we think
Billings is
they mm-hmm. finished up theirs, but they did just back a house, so just their gate area. So they did
got it.
Their front of house, their ticket counter is still fairly old looking.
Older, and I know Great Falls has a beautiful front of house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Kalispell, even with that addition, it's a smaller addition.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll do it. I mean, it'll be beautiful, I'm sure.
Right.
But, you know, we'll see what happens.
What happens if somebody needs to get from Missoula to Kalispell? Is there ever a situation like that? I remember back in the day, growing up in the East Coast, Newark and JFK and LaGuardia used to have helicopters.
Right. Well, they still do.
They still do, right? Mm-hmm. To connect you. We don't have that capability, do we?
No, it's Uber, Lyft, and be afraid to
roads.
Pay the bill. Yep.
And rowing. You can row up or down the river. What airport do we collaborate the most with?
I'd say Bozeman. We usually do support letters for each other.
You know, right.
They're going to help us. They wrote a support letter for our Small Community Air Service grant. I wrote them a support letter for, they're doing a huge terminal project. So we share staff back and forth to kind of see best practices. So a lot with Bozeman.
And for international, we don't have any custom clearance here.
No
but
customs.
And is there any customs anywhere in Montana?
Bozeman has one, but it's pay to use. Great Falls?
I think Great Falls.
Great Falls because of the airbase?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then Spokane.
Spokane.
Yeah, sometimes
I would assume so.
Yeah, I've flown back for, on a private jet from Canada, and we had to clear in the U.S. In Spokane. We had to land in Spokane on the way back to Missoula to clear.
Just stop there, not.
Well, they came on.
Right, they came on and did it. Mm-hmm.
Checked, but sometimes you can clear in Canada and then just fly in. But every once in a while, they make you
got it
and check out what you're carrying on board.
Any chance of some new carriers coming, even though you've done a stellar job in bringing Sun Country and Frontier back, Southwest?
So we continue to meet with airlines. So we have a more meetings. So every year, Montana hosts a, we call it the Montana Rendezvous, and it goes around the state. This year, Billings is hosting it. So we'll be meeting with them mid-August, you know, with multiple airlines. Never say never, but right now we just got to make sure Frontier works and Sun Country works before, you know, another airline will kind of want to come our way.
So we get Sun Country in, and they're flying to one destination, to Chicago, right?
Minneapolis.
Yep. Excuse me. And if that's successful, will they then consider flying from here to somewhere else?
I think their first step will be to maybe double. So right now it's just Wednesdays and Saturdays, and it was a very short little window because they're just kind of
testing the market,
flying under the radar of Delta, so that, you know, what's happening to Frontier. It doesn't, you know, with United, so they want to
make, good.
You know, yeah. So they're just flying on the radar. So I think what they, and so far it's doing really well.
Good.
So my guess is next year they'll double their service and go to 4 times per week or 3 times per week for a longer period, would be my guess.
Since I've never flown them before, are they a low cost carrier like the other airlines? They have the same kind of sort of service to the cut. Yeah. Yep.
It's no Spirit, Arnie. It's no Spirit. we don't want that.
So they're. No. Minnesota Nice. They are great people to work with.
Oh, that's good.
Yep, and affordable too. So I've got my family booked. We're actually flying out on them Saturday to go to an air show in Wisconsin. Wow. And I think I booked the four of us round trip to Minneapolis and back for $600.
That's great.
So, for four?
150.
Whoa.
Round trip.
Round trip.
That's beautiful.
That's really good.
Yep. So,
and then, you know, if you're going to, you can do that and, you know, pair that up with an international flight out of Minneapolis, and you can save a lot of money if you.
If you're willing to piece the trip together, yes. there's options for people.
Well, if you're carry-on, you have to carry on.
If you got your carry-on bag, you can go far.
Let's do a quick ID. Tim Damro and Brian Elstad are here from the airport deputy and director. How about JetBlue?
Sensing a theme to New York here.
Yeah. Or L.A.
Well, we have a lot of connections to the West Coast.
Or Boston.
Yeah. Frankly, I mean, you can hit almost the whole coast. You can go, and seasonally, it's even better.
Tim, it's in search of pizza.
No, it's in search of
a noble quest.
And a good bagel.
I would be just as happy, you know, flying if we had a flight into Washington. Any place on the East Coast that would get me one stop into Europe somewhere, and you could save, you know, some money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, because most of the Delta, if you're going to do a one stop, you're going through Dallas, Salt Lake City or Minneapolis, and then you're stuck with whatever connections they have there.
Yeah, true.
You know, so I'm just looking for less. Given the way the world is changing, weather changes, the over. I think the overloading of flights. There are less flights out there, so your flights are jammed up. If you have a domino that falls, you're in big trouble on an international trip. I've been here at Christmas time trying to fly back, even like from Asia, and so you miss your flight in Salt Lake City, and they tell you you have to wait 3 days to get on another flight.
Yeah, I know.
I've rented cars twice to get back. Given all of that, you want to be able to fly into an airport that has multiple options for you.
Yep.
You know, and that's why a New York or, you know, or a Philadelphia or sometimes or Washington D.C. gives you that.
Right.
You miss your connection, which you do a reasonable amount of time, connections and. No fault of anybody. It could be weather-related. Mm-hmm. It could be runway-related. Right. I was at JFK not too long ago, and the pilot comes on and says, we are 28th for takeoff. That's not unusual at JFK.
That doesn't happen.
You know, you start calculating 3-4 minutes. You know, you're there an hour.
Right.
And if you're trying to make a European connection somewhere where you're going to be landing in a country where English isn't the native language, and that may not matter to a lot of people, but we're a university town, and we're very connected to lots of places around the world where we, you know, have partnerships and do business and have students, and you know, we have 400, you know, foreign Asian students here. We want to make sure that we can network into places where there's multiple options.
Totally. Well, so you guys had mentioned when we started we're taping this on the 17th. You have you're going to be bringing coming up here with MEP. The Missoula Economic Partnership next week. What are you guys talking about? That's because this is going to air after that. So
I'm assuming. So obviously, we're working with the community to raise money for a small community air service grant. So
got it.
Right now, Grant and MEP is raising money. Barb from Destination Missoula TIB is raising money. Glacier Country is contributing. So we've got all these entities that we're trying to get a big.
For
routes. A good pot of money.
Got it.
And it's probably going to be north of $400,000 is what they've raised. And we're going to hopefully parlay that into more than, you know, double or triple that so that we can raise over $1 million to try and pursue an airline, which I would assume would be either United or American, to extend our season October through May to go through right. Chicago.
Got so it. For our listeners who are not familiar with this bribery process, could you explain a little bit of how it works, why you have to go through this and, you know, what it accomplishes?
So to have an airline, so right now air service is at a premium. So to try and raise your community to the top of the list, you use bribes.
Well, guarantee. Let's use the word guarantee.
Thank you. You want to guarantee them certain revenue on a route. So you're mitigating risk for that route. So it allows them to they're guaranteed to make money, you know, at a small profit. And then they can keep whatever profit on top of that. But it really allows them to come into our market at no risk during, you know, we're a summer market here. In the winter, our traffic probably gets cut in half.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, for them, they see that and go, it's a little risky to fly Missoula in the wintertime. So this will make it a profitable route guaranteed in the winter months.
Right.
And we know it's going to do well. So then year two, they'll come back and do it at risk.
Is there a website address we should be looking for?
I'd say Missoula Economic Partnership is your best contact. So okay. Still, you know, feel free to still, you know, give letters of support and raise money.
Sure.
But I think we'll have a pretty good package, and it's a pretty compelling argument.
And we've done this before. How did that work out?
So Dallas is still here. So American came in with Dallas one flight per day for the summer, or actually it was year-round. And what they ended up doing was, at risk, they brought in Chicago for that same summer, and now they're up to, they've given us double daily flights to Dallas in the summertime on 172-seat airplanes, twice daily, Chicago on a 76-seater, and L.A. on a 76-seater. So that one grant got all this extra air service because we proved our
market.
That's
fantastic.
Right. And Bozeman got New York by doing the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah, they totally did.
And that was because of Big Sky, primarily. Yep. A lot of folks go into Big Sky from New York.
And Big Sky wrote a big check.
Yeah, they
Big
did.
Big Sky. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We will be right back with Brian and Tim from the airport after these words. Arnie, we are back with the Missoula, Montana airport.
So there's a rumor floating around about an Explore Pass. Can you tell us what that is about?
I don't know where you heard this rumor. So in the coming weeks, we're going to be announcing a new program at the airport. It's called the Explore MSO Pass. What it's going to be is a gate pass for individuals. This is any individual, unticketed, able to come explore the airport, whether that's picking someone up, you just want to go back to the airport, you know, eat at the bar, have a drink on the patio, and just really explore around the new terminal. A lot of cool things, I think. We've heard a lot from people that they just want to come see the airport, but they may not have a ticket, may not be flying out. They may live in the area, want somewhere to eat. So it'll give them an option to go sign up, get the Explore Pass. So they're able to go through the checkpoint just as a normal passenger would and enjoy all the services on the other side of the
checkpoint. That's really cool because we do have that outdoor patio and watch people still like watching planes land and take off.
Enthusiasts.
Yeah, it's enthusiasts.
And we're hoping next year probably we're going to be doing some special events as well.
Oh, that'll be great.
Sunday mimosas on the patio, whatever it may be.
Really?
So stay tuned on that. But we're hoping that's a pretty cool program, and we hope the community likes
it. Scott
and
I live 6 minutes away. We'll be over there taking advantage of that.
And I think you guys are very modest. You have humility. You don't take enough credit for what you have been able to accomplish. So we want to applaud you.
Yes.
And thank
absolutely.
You. Because for us, this is, it's a joy to fly in and out of Missoula. It just is. You need to know
that.
I love
hearing that.
No, it's my favorite airport. It's the easiest airport I go through, and we like it. If we have listeners who want to make comments, give advice, as Missoulians like to do, how do they get a hold of you? How do they get a hold of you, and where do they write to?
Easiest one's going to be the website, so flymissoula.com. We also have all of our social channels on Facebook, Instagram as well.
One of the things I should point out that some people may not know, that website I use all the time to track flights.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, and you're as on point as any of the other independent sources are. I trust what you say in terms of when planes are landing and coming in.
It all
or what
comes
delays
from the same
are.
Source.
It's all the same source.
You got FlightAware, and you can contact the airline. But sometimes all of them have a different arrival time or departure time. They're not quite up to date. I just go to Fly Missoula and find out what's going on.
It's great.
Plus, it focuses in on all the flights. Yep. So, you know what's coming in and what's departing.
Totally.
So that's – I want to commend you on the website. It's easy to use, and you don't have to go through all kinds of layers to get that. It's right on the home page, basically, when you click in. So it's very useful.
Brian, Tim, you guys came, you saw, you conquered.
Yeah.
Well, things will look even nicer in about less than a year from now.
We're looking forward to that.
Phase two.
We're looking forward
we'll
to that.
We'll be out there for the ribbon cutting.
We'll have one.
We'll have
good.
You there.
Thank you for being with us today.
All right.
It's always a pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Great seeing you. Arnie, I'll see you next week.
Next week, Scott. Take care.
Thank you for listening to What Do You Know?
I can't wait for the next show, Scott.
I'm excited too, Arnie. If you'd like to suggest a guest, send me an email at scottrichman@townsquaremedia.com. We'll see you next week. And thanks for listening to News Talk KGVO,